You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 438, and this is our preview of Stanford. Got a couple of topics for you, and then, of course, we're going to go through the matchup in more particulars and talk about how we think the game's going to go, including giving our score predictions. Randall's here as well. Randall, how's it going?
It's going good. It's kind of tough to try to figure out how this game is going to go.
I know. It's, yeah. The last few weeks have been a little different, I think, than what a lot of people expected. I guess the Navy game, I did expect a closer game, but even that was a little closer than I thought.
Here's one positive thing, though. It seemed like Notre Dame played a bad stretch. It started in, the fourth quarter, the Wake Forest game, all of Miami, and then the first half against Navy this past week. But then they, you know, especially the offense, looked really good in the second half of the Navy game. So maybe they kind of turned things around after kind of that tough stretch.
I hope you're right.
It's just hard to tell where this team is at.
That's what I've been telling myself, too. One of the topics I want to talk to before we get into particulars is Brian Kelly was asked in the press conference today by Eric Hansen if this can be a model, or how or why can this be a model this season, be a model for the future, versus it just being a special season with a special group of players. And Brian Kelly's answer was disappointing to me. He said the mission is to graduate all their players and to win a championship. I mean, he says that all the time. In fact, today I'm not even sure he mentioned the championship part. I think he just said graduate all the players. But either way, that is always what he says. The mission is graduate all the players, win a championship. He may have omitted the championship part today, but it was probably just he just forgot it. Then he talked a little bit about the shift of this team, and he was talking about, you know, they did change. They got a new defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, strength and conditioning staff, or at least the head person changed, different strength and conditioning program. And he talked about a little bit about sustainability, and what everyone wants to hear and what his answer should be is that we're going to be a team that is built from the front back, defensive line back, offensive line and back, starting with those two units, and we're going to rely on them because that is why this season offensively has been successful. Defensively, they've been a lot better on the defensive line, but they've been able to be disruptive from the linebacker group, and the defensive line has played well. Don't get me wrong, but I don't think it's been they can take steps forward on that defensive line, but the offensive line is there. But he didn't say that. He said that it's sustainable because they're working on building the traits, and that's what makes it sustainable. Well, what are these traits?
Well, the traits he's been talking about all year.
What can you name one of the traits? Attention to detail is maybe the one.
Attention to detail, the grit, all these different things. He's been mentioning those since the beginning of the year. And see, I actually think I kind of disagree. I think it is those traits, because the biggest difference on this defense, especially like on the defense, isn't the total yards they're giving up, all these other things. It's the small thing. It's the tackling, it's the turnovers, and right there are the two biggest things. And the games where they've struggled tackling and have forced no turnovers, they've looked like last year's defense. So they haven't really changed that much. You know, I mean, we saw a big argument on Twitter that we were laughing about between some Notre Dame writers about the defense, how many yards they give up to, you know, and how many BVG gave up. And really, it isn't that much difference. But I think a lot of these small things, I do think it's these small things that have made a difference, because against Miami, they tackled terrible and they forced no turnovers and they looked like they were last year's defense.
That is a good point. I do agree with you that those traits is maybe what makes up the part about tackling well. and doing the little things like punching for the ball to try and knock it out to force fumbles. But I don't know why he's so unwilling to admit that running the football is one thing that makes this team successful. He didn't even have to say running, just relying on the offensive line is one thing that I wanted to hear. And he, at one point this year, he did say they expected to run the football, or kind of their goal was it 250 yards?
Yeah.
It was a lot, which they've outdone it, but they had, internally, they had a high standard how well they wanted to run the football. And yeah. so he has mentioned running the football, and that is encouraging. But I just don't know. I know you need to evolve as an offense. You can't bring out the exact same thing every year. Brian Kelly talked about Navy. Like, they're bringing stuff back from years ago. Even Alabama, we think there are maybe the same year in and year out, but they do change up their offense. They do bring in new coordinators as the other ones move on. And so you do need to evolve and change.
I often think those questions are just a little bit different because it's easy for us to look at it, because what we're looking at when we think of Notre Dame football, it's basically 12 weeks out of the year. These guys, Brian Kelly and all the players, are in this whole thing every day throughout the whole year.
From January on.
So imagine, like, when you think about your job, when somebody asks you about something a year ago, it might have been a bad month at work, but you don't look at all the detail. Like, it's not in your memory like it is for us fans. We all know exactly what happened in those 12 weeks last year. We know what's happened in the 12 weeks this year. But to them, they're in it every day, and it's just, they just have a different view on it.
Well, I guess the reason I'm disappointed he didn't mention either, especially the offensive line, is because I don't think next year is going to be as successful, because you're replacing some of those guys up front. And even if the team comes back with equal amount of grit, determination, and attention to detail, I still think this team is, they might have the same number of wins, but I don't, this team is a really good football team, even with the poor passing game. It is a very good football team. And they've stumbled through the last few weeks, but it's still a really good team. I don't think next year they will be as good.
So here's what makes this team, why is this team so much better?
Than next year?
Yeah.
Because of the guys up front. They're going to lose two.
And because they know the fine details is what I'm pointing out at. It's not the scheme. It's not the coach's play calling. It's not this and that. It's the guys that they have. And these guys have the experience. They're good at what they do.
Yes, and you're saying, well, they are reloading. So with the it's just going
to
take.
That's what we're saying. With the same staff and everybody, we expect them to be there next year. But we're kind of expecting them to not be as good as what they are this season, the whole team. And the only thing that's changing is that they'll have new guys there that won't know all these fine details.
I just don't think they're capable. They haven't been at that point.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying, is they won't be able to produce, and we can't expect so much because they're still learning. They're still doing all these things, the fine details. So that's why I think I can see where he's coming from, because it's not so much the big changes that we saw.
All right. Well, yeah, you're making me a little more comfortable then. And the one thing that, the one wild card is,
we always got to talk, next year's always better.
I'm saying it's not going to be.
Well, yeah.
But the wild card is Brandon Wimbush, because he could make a huge step from this year to next year. And I still do expect it. I expect even a big step from the game versus Stanford to the bowl game. I expect a big step.
Yeah. Well, now they have something to work off of. I mean, obviously, Brandon Wimbush knew all summer that he was going to be the starter, but they didn't have that game film. They didn't have anything really to work off of. It was just all potential in the future for Wimbush, Alizé Mack. It was all potential. Now they actually have film of them playing in every game, and can work on those things. And I think we should see him, well, we should see an improvement. The problem I have is that second-year quarterbacks under Brian Kelly have not been, made this
the steps.
Steps or haven't gotten better like they should. And that's because of coaching. That's because of play calling.
You say it's because of coaching and play calling. I say it's because of things like, it just so happened that Will Fuller left after 2015. He wasn't here in 2016. The offensive line was not nearly as good in 2016 as it was in 2015 or where it is now in 2017. So you're true, also saying that. I don't.
We'll have to see, but we have yet to see.
I'm saying it's more. Coaching may play a role in why the quarterback takes a step back, but I think it's external factors more than it is Brian Kelly putting too much on their plate.
It's putting too much on their plate, I should say. It's not necessarily the bad coaching. They're putting too much on them. This is a prime.
It is, because the offensive line
for that to happen
is not going to be as good. We
lose Josh Adams.
Yeah, I didn't even mention Josh Adams. Yeah, it's true.
So it is.
assume it's true.
It's setting up to be a rough year for Wimbush, if you go by past experience.
All right, let's talk about Stanford. And on Thursday, we talked with Hank Waddles from GoMightyCard.com. So that interview will be on there. You can get some insight into the Cardinal team. And definitely check out GoMightyCard.com to read up on this game with the Irish from the perspective from the other guys. And it's always good to have Hank on the podcast. He's been with us now for a few years and always enjoyed chatting with him. It's been a close game the last while, and I don't expect anything different. Stanford has had an up-and-down season. Notre Dame, for the most part, was climbing, and then the last few weeks, kind of like you said, the last quarter of Wake Forest and then all of Miami, it's been a disappointment.
So here's a question for you. We've talked about how great the strength and conditioning staff is and how they can play an entire game, but doesn't it almost seem like the season is taking a toll on the players? They're beat up. They're just not the same players. They're getting beat. And Brian Kelly mentioned the reason that they were so good at the beginning of the year, they were wearing people down. And that's why they, in the second half, they would pull away from teams. And that's not happening anymore. So, is this just, I guess, I don't know if it's really a question, just kind of the thought, but is that team kind of hitting that, maybe you can call it the freshman wall with the first year strength and conditioning?
I do think that they're wearing out. You see it in Josh Adams. You've seen it the last few weeks, for at least. Dexter Williams really never got going. He was banged up from the start of the season. And Brian Kelly mentioned that every week the last month, it seems, he's as healthy as he's been all year, but we just failed to see him for more than a moment or two.
Yeah.
But he did say again that they are expected to rely on Dexter in this game.
And this is football. Like, everybody gets beat up, but this is where the good teams are winning games. This is when it takes grit, as Brian Kelly always talks about, to keep playing. And is this still? I'm just wondering if the strength can. Yeah, they've been around for a year, but are we starting to see the effects of not being around more than a year?
No, I don't think so. I think this is going to happen every year, where players are going to get dinged up, banged up, and this is where depth is what carries you through November. And usually by the time bowl season starts, you're healthy again. But I think this is more to do. I think every year is going to be like this. It's still better. At least we're not losing players for the whole season.
Oh, exactly.
And things like Equanimeous, that had nothing to do with strength and conditioning. That was just freak play where you land on your head. But I think the reason that good teams are able to keep on rolling late in the year is because they have better depth.
And this is where teams like Alabama suddenly have this running back
that
hasn't played as much this year and comes in and has some monster games between now and the championship
game. Maybe Dexter Williams. Maybe it's his time. Stanford, 3-4 defense. Brian Kelly talked about them. Numbers-wise, how they compared to Notre Dame. They give up virtually the same amount of points per game as the Irish do, giving up, oh my, I thought it was around 20 points. Per, there we go. Yeah, they give up 20.7. Notre Dame gives up 20.4. They give up 170 on the ground, 216 through the air. Those numbers are very close to the Irish. Notre Dame gives up the same amount through the air and gives up about 15 to 20 fewer on the ground. Offensively, Notre Dame is a step ahead, scoring almost 37 points per game to Stanford's 32. And total yards, Notre Dame's at about 458. Stanford's at 400. And Notre Dame does have, even though they have Bryce Love, who has over 1,700 yards for the season, 16 touchdowns. Incredible. They are rushing 215 yards per game to Notre Dame's 290. And Notre Dame has spread out the rushing game, which you've mentioned it often, Randall. I mean, it hasn't been uncommon for a second player to have a 100-yard game. So we've definitely seen that spread out a little more, especially when Josh Adams has been not to his not 100%.
Yeah. And Bryce Love is beat up. I mean, he had a long run against Cal last week. Other than that, he would only had, I think it was like a 50-yard run, and besides that, he would have had 50 yards maybe. But even afterwards, David Shaw mentioned that it was hard to believe that he outran everyone on 1.5 ankles. And so that is something to watch this week. I don't know if we'll actually know till game time if he's going to play or not. Hank Waddle said that, you know, maybe they don't even play him, because it's kind of up to what happens with Washington and Washington State on whether Stanford plays in the Pac-12 championship. And so really, this doesn't affect, this game doesn't affect a whole lot. And so they've been known to, you know, play conservative, but I don't expect that to happen. David Shaw does not like Notre Dame. Every time he comes in, he plays at Notre Dame, he's whining about the whistles in the stands, just anything. He does not like Notre Dame. I don't like him.
I think he's just more of a whiner, which I agree. I think he's a really good coach.
Oh, he's Stanford's winningest coach.
But
now, by the way.
I agree. I don't like him either.
He last week was his win number 72 for him at Stanford, and he's their winningest coach now. But I'm not a fan of him, and he always has good gameplay. He's a good coach and knows how to beat Notre Dame.
He does. Since Brian Kelly said since 2007, Notre Dame has not won at Stanford.
Yeah.
So 2015, Notre Dame had a really good team, terrible offense, and Brian Kelly did mention that they won't be playing prevent defense again. But this is going to be. In fact, Notre Dame's not even favored, by the way. I mean, all right, this no, is they, almost, they, sorry, they are favored now.
Yeah, they are.
Did that switch?
No, it's been like that. They've been favored by like 3.5 all week.
It's 2.5 now. For some reason, when I was looking at that, I thought it was Stanford by 2.5. I'm surprised. I did think that Stanford would be favored in this game.
And like you mentioned, 2015, it comes down to that was for the playoffs, basically.
It was. I don't think Notre Dame would have got in, but
I don't think so either.
We were playing for it, and that goes to show, again, I think how different that team was to this season. Because if this team would have been playing that year with one loss, and if you win, you have a chance to go. I think they would have won. I think they would have won big. And we saw that team, even remember we were talking about that against Boston College. They barely beat Boston College, and we were needing statement wins.
Yeah.
And they just could not blow teams away.
So right there proves that this has been a good year.
It has been. We're getting a little rabbit trailer here, but I did want, you mentioned, well, what is Stanford, what are they playing for? Because win or lose, the playing for the Pac-12 championship game is out of their hands. It doesn't matter what happens against Notre Dame. But Notre Dame, what do they have to play for? I mean, they're going to go to a bowl game either way. And I know that I've been saying, what does it matter? But I'm coming. I was a little down when I said that. And now that I've had a chance to sit back and I don't know.
Notre Dame's never won a major or big six bowl game.
Here's the thing. It's time to take steps forward.
Exactly.
And going from an 8-win team, sometimes 9-win, once in a while 10-win, like we had 10-plus like we had in 2012 and 2015, is okay. But Notre Dame is not even consistently at a 10-win program, which you need to be a New Year's Six type team.
Yeah.
Notre Dame's not even there. And it's not realistic to think of going straight to a playoff caliber team when you're not even up to a 10-win team. So getting to 10 wins in regular season and finally beating a big-time bowl game, New Year's Six Bowl, is a big step. And then doing it next year is just as big, because then you've proven you can do it for 2 years in a row, which hasn't happened.
Yeah.
Notre Dame's had 2012 and 2015. Well, doing it this year would mean, I mean, we did it 2 years ago. That's at least, even that is progress at least. But doing it again next year is also progress. So I'm back on the wagon. I'm back into caring about winning.
Well, here's what I think. If let's say, yeah, I want Notre Dame to go to the playoffs, but they're not going to. But let's say they would have gone this year. It would have been another 2012. Let's just say, oh, they had one good year out of all the rest. They haven't done anything. They need this year, and they need to win a big bowl game so that it's not just a fluke 2012 where you make it
and then you get blown
to the championship
out.
And get blown out.
And these are the teams that I think there's probably five teams that would definitely beat Notre Dame and beat them badly. And I think it's Alabama. I think Oklahoma would too. I think Oklahoma would. I think Clemson would. And I think Ohio State. I think those four teams, and honestly, probably Auburn right now too. So maybe there's five or six teams that would embarrass Notre Dame and would beat them by two or more touchdowns.
Oklahoma is, it could go either way. It all depends if Baker Mayfield grabs his crotch before or not, because I guess he's not playing the first, he's not starting the game, and he's not a captain in the next game, so. That could change. They might have a chance against Oklahoma.
Well, assuming that they'd have four quarters of Baker Mayfield. So there's, and even going into it, I thought there was at least three teams that probably would beat Notre Dame pretty badly if they were matched up. So this is probably at number 8, 9, or 10 is probably where Notre Dame deserves to be and should be.
But here's what I'm saying. That's how everyone is feeling, and I kind of do as well. But Notre Dame had one bad loss, and we're feeling like that.
No, it's more than that, Randall.
But here, they blew out a lot of good ranked teams. They had blowout wins, but I'm trying to convince myself here.
I know.
But they had one bad loss, and now we have a list of teams that Notre Dame would get blown out by.
I just think it's true. Because they had, and part of it, maybe if they would have beat Miami, part of it is if they would have beat Miami, they'd be a better team. But so it's kind of hard to project.
Yeah.
But if they would have beat Miami, I don't know. I kind of feel like the Stanford game was, or the USC game was also kind of an anomaly.
Miami game was. Notre Dame Miami play again next week, and I would put my money on Notre Dame. I would too
that Notre Dame would win. Definitely if it'd be at a neutral site. Maybe not if it'd be at Miami, but at a neutral site, yes, I would pick Notre Dame. We're getting way off track.
Well, it might be because we're a little worried about the Stanford game coming up. But Brian Kelly mentioned with Stanford, they're beating, if they can beat Stanford, you know, they beat the teams that beat them last year.
Yes.
They would have all the traveling trophies. So right there is something to play for just in the Stanford game. I mean, I'm hoping it's more than that, but there's a couple things that they know about, and I'm hoping Stanford is not a faceless opponent. I'm hoping this is a tree, and they want to go chop down those trees.
We talked a little bit about Bryce Love, and we're not sure if he is going to play. I'm basing my score prediction off the fact he's not going to play, But Brian Kelly said they're preparing as if he's going to play. And he said, Brian Kelly said, this is the best back that they've faced all year. He's a difference maker for sure. And what started Brian Kelly was his ability to break tackles. And if he is playing, Notre Dame has done very well on this season as far as tackling, but this is definitely a game where they have to be sound at tackling because the backup back is a bruiser and he's going to be tough to take down as well.
No, I'm not that worried about the backup, Scarlett.
He's a big guy.
I know, but you got to remember Notre Dame's defense goes up against Josh Adams, the best running back in the country, every week in practice. So, all
right, now who's the homer? So, okay. I think that's it. Are you ready to go? Well,
one thing I will mention on the defense, their leading tackler is their nose tackle. And that is very unusual. Harrison Phillips. That's new. You know how we always talk about, you know, on the podcast how the nose tackle, oh, they're never going to have a lot of tackles
because their job
is to be disruptive and take up space. Here in a 3-4 defense, he's their leading tackler, and he had a down game last week and only had 5 tackles and
so he's looking to
half a tackle for loss.
He's looking to bounce back.
Yeah, but I'm not sure he's faced an offensive line like Notre Dame's either. But Notre Dame needs to know that they're not going against a faceless opponent. They're going against the line needs to know that they're playing against Harrison Phillips. They should maybe have to suggest that. Maybe in practice they should have a mask with the opposing that looks like the opposing player. Maybe this will start getting used everywhere.
I thought it was funny. Brian Kelly was asked about special teams and if he's if he's satisfied with what he got out of it. And I thought it was funny. He said it was fair to Midland.
He said they don't have any game breakers on special teams. One thing I would have done, I mean, I'm not going to complain about Chris Fink, but I still would have put
CJ Sanders
back there, and he can be a game breaker. He's done it.
I don't know if you can. There really isn't any room, though, to return. With the way Notre Dame was blocking the punt returns, there was a few times.
There's a bigger chance of him doing it than Chris Fink. Chris Fink's never returned one for a touchdown.
He's never returned one for more than a few steps.
Well, true. But I didn't really like that comment because I think CJ Sanders has done it, even on kickoffs. I think it's the way they're playing, the rest of the team is playing.
I don't think they're trying to set up clearly they're not. They're whatever. If they're not trying to, or whether they are trying, they're not getting it done as far as blocking well for punts.
Yeah.
And Notre Dame hasn't. I don't know. I don't know how many yards Notre Dame's.
I don't think it's not. I disagree with him on the special teams. I don't think it's that they don't have a game breaker. They just don't. They aren't setting up to have one.
It's not a priority.
They're not giving anybody a chance to be a game breaker. But it's not going to change against Stanford. We're going to see more of the same.
Were you surprised against versus Miami that Notre Dame didn't run the ball out more?
Yeah, especially at the end of the game. Because, even out of the end zone?
Yeah. It would have seemed like you were getting your butt kicked and you needed a spark. And, yeah, there's a chance that you're going to turn it over. But I think there's a bigger, better chance that you actually get a good return.
I know. Someone pointed out that was a kind of a sign that Notre Dame just wasn't. They're just not aggressive enough. They just weren't in there to win the game. They were still trying to decide if they should kneel. They weren't trying to make that big play, like on a kickoff even.
And the offense wasn't getting it done either. It's not like starting at the 25 was good enough. Okay, you ready to go through the different position groups and then give our thoughts?
Yeah.
Okay, offense, let's start there. Offensive line, Brian Kelly was asked about the two freshmen, redshirt freshman, Hainsey, and what's his name?
Kramer?
Kramer, yeah. and was asked if they would be tackles next year or what the plans would be, and he didn't really give an answer. I mean, he said it would depend because of competition from other guys in the team. He didn't really give an answer. He mentioned Eichenberg, and probably Eichenberg will probably be man one of the tackle spots next year. And then, so I'm guessing either.
Well, and Lug, he always mentions Lug as well.
Yeah. It will be interesting to see next year how Hainsey and Kramer, how they take that next step. Because this might be, Notre Dame hasn't done this that I remember where they'd, where they shared a starting spot like this. But maybe this is a recipe to help prepare guys for the upcoming season when they will need to be relied on.
I don't think it'll be quite as bad. Yeah, it'll be this. The offensive line won't be as good, but I don't think it'll be quite as bad as what we're worried for, because they'll know going into the season that they're starting. I mean, even this year, I wish Kramer and
Hainsey
would have. I guess they couldn't have figured it out. I wish one of them would have been able to step away and be the guy. But they're going to know, the unit's going to know before the season starts who's starting. Even in spring, they'll probably have a good idea. And so it'll be different. It's not like you're going to be throwing in guys and have Kramer and Hainsey switching. And
I think this might be a recipe in the future, if you have two guys that are very close to giving you the same thing, younger guys that you know are going to need to play a lot in the upcoming seasons, just to give them both playing time and experience.
Yeah. Brian Kelly did say he offered his parking spot to Quentin Nelson, but he said he didn't take it. So, obviously, it sounds like Nelson's made up his mind. He's leaving for the NFL.
Yeah.
Which I don't think anybody expects him to come back. He's not going to have McClinchy beside him, and well, he would have Mustafa.
Yeah,
but it won't make him. I mean, that's helped make him look even better.
All right, tight ends.
There was talk about maybe seeing Wisher a little more if EQ can't go or Equanimeous can't go this week. That's one option, that maybe we'll see more of the tight ends being used if you don't have Equanimeous ready to go. But
didn't Brian Kelly say that they just plug in Boykin to wherever?
Yeah, but have you seen Boykin produce a lot?
Last week.
That's the first time. But with, you know, when Mack went down, we saw more of the other tight ends.
Yeah.
It wasn't just Smythe and Mac, you saw Smythe, Wisher, Komet. You saw more of all the tight ends, and so that's one option in my mind, is see more of Wisher. The tight ends we use more, and I do think this is Stanford. They know what Team Stanford is. I think this game plan will be better because they know they have to grind it out. I think you go against a team like Miami, you're trying to
be explosive on offense.
You know, use your athletes, you would say. And, yeah, be more explosive. I think the coaches know this is Stanford. It's a tough, big defensive line, defense period, and I think the game plan will be better. Will be more the type of using tight ends. You know, using two tight ends, two running back, more of that grinded out. Like, we want to see the power football that we want to see.
If Josh Adams and if the backs are healthy, we probably will see two backs.
That's a big question. That's a problem.
Let's talk about the running backs then next. Like we mentioned, Dexter Williams, Brian Kelly said he's about as 100% as we've had him all year. Do you expect him to play? He even went on to say we expect him to we are expecting a big role. Him to be a big role.
Josh Adams needs to talk to them. Josh Adams is out there. Well, no, he has set out some. But he seems tougher than the other guys.
I agree.
He did miss time, though. He did miss time. I'm not going to say he was out there grinding it out even when he was hurt. He has missed quite a few quarters. But, man, these other backs, I don't know what. They just cannot get healthy. is it really that bad, or are they just a bunch of wimps that need to suck it up and get out there and
That's
play?
That's the one thing about Deion McIntosh. I mean, which he hasn't taken the hits. Actually, he might have more he might have more carries than Dexter and Josh Tony Jones. He probably does have more carries than them.
Maybe more carries, but Tony Jones would have taken more reps, in my opinion. In the beginning of the year, Tony Jones taking a lot of reps as the second back.
But I do think you're right. I do think that Josh Adams has been an example of grinding it out, being tough.
And Brian Kelly said Dex will be a big part of the game plan. So
I feel like I've heard that before.
Yeah.
Maybe not those exact words, but that sentiment at least.
Yeah.
Wide receivers, let's stick on the injury theme here for a little bit. Cam is probably not going to play.
Even if he's healthy, he's not going to play.
And then EQ did pass his exertion test today, yesterday, I think. And then today he was going to be in non-contact. No, I think I'm a day off.
We're recording tomorrow on Tuesday, so versus on Wednesday. So that makes.
I think he's doing non-contact.
He was cleared for non-contact today.
Limited contact on Wednesday, tomorrow.
Well, today he takes the test, and if he passes that, he's limited contact tomorrow and full contact on Thursday.
Yes.
So
I guess
I actually think we'll see him out there.
I kind of expect to see him.
We have not seen a guy that has gone through concussion protocol come back. Usually they miss the next week. But it almost sounds like he is.
Yeah. I didn't think
for some
that
reason
on
I kind
Monday.
Of believe Brian Kelly on this one.
Okay. But then Stefferson, again, I mean, he led the team last week and he is a difference maker. The question is going to be, can Brandon Wimbush deliver the ball on time and on target?
Yeah.
And then there are other guys. I mean,
hey, when Brian Kelly mentioned that Boykins would be the guy to step up in Ekwonu's place,
I thought you
could almost see that happen.
I could see it happen.
All this in the spring, he was very good.
He's been a great.
He was a star.
He's been a great spring
gold
player.
And then he just kind of disappeared, but he was playing last week, and we did see him some this year. The one game he would have probably had a touchdown if they wouldn't have held him. You know, they were literally hanging on to him. So for some reason, I feel like if he has to come in, I think he could actually produce in this game and be like a surprise.
I would love to see that, have him come in and produce big time.
Because he's that bigger. He's not the fastest guy, but he's that bigger back going against Stanford, who we all talk about as this big, bruising, tough demon. I mean, he would be the type of player for this game.
Yeah, he's definitely thicker than Equanimeous.
Yeah.
So probably, I don't remember offhand how well he's been doing in the blocking game for the running backs, but
the bad thing about the passing game, they're going against Justin Reed. Safety. He's one of Notre Dame tried to recruit him, but he's Brian Kelly mentioned he's one of the best DBs they'll see all year.
Okay, and then Brandon Wimbush.
This is the key to the game.
If he plays well, Notre Dame will beat Stanford comfortably, and Notre Dame can beat Stanford without him playing well.
If they run the ball.
If they're very effective in running the football. They still need to connect a couple times, but he doesn't. But Brandon Wimbush doesn't need to play extremely well, but he will need to convert on the ground.
Yeah.
But if he is able to put a game together where he is effective in the passing game, where he can convert some third and longs, where he can gain a couple 50-yard passes, this offense really, it's already pretty impressive, but it'll even be more impressive.
Yeah. They just need to get him out there, get him settled down, not throw the ball three straight times to start the game, and just get him comfortable early. And I'm not sure. Maybe the turkey on Thanksgiving will help calm him down a little bit. Which Notre Dame, they are planning to eat Thanksgiving meal at the Morris Inn in South Bend. Their families can be there. and then they leave for Stanford in the afternoon.
On Thursday.
Yeah. And Brian Kelly mentioned having their phones on airplane mode. I'm not sure if they're going to go around and check each one, but it'll be early time change. You know, they'll need to be in bed Friday morning, Saturday morning when we're all waking up out here.
I know, but it's much easier to travel west than it is to travel east. Not for Notre Dame because we're in the East Coast or we're in the Eastern time zone, but it's tougher for a West Coast team to travel to Eastern time zone and play a noon game, which would be a 9 a.m. game.
Yeah.
I would much rather do this. And I think Brian Kelly is overselling a little bit as far as the difficulties of traveling, because it'd be like an 8 o'clock game. It is an 8 p.m. game.
It'd be an 11 o'clock game.
No. No, it's an 8 p.m. game here. Eastern time. Yeah. Kickoff's at 8:15. Oh, it'd be 5:15 local.
I don't know what I'm thinking.
So, yeah, they will go to bed a little bit earlier. I mean, a little bit, yeah. It will seem... Anyway, my point is that...
It'll be closer to a 3:30 start time than what Stanford's used to.
Yeah. It might... Stanford is... Would be more...
No, it's play not. Than, we're getting...
Stanford would be more likely to play...
We're just getting this... Making this more confusing. It'll be an 8 o'clock game for Notre Dame.
Yeah.
I'm thinking it was 8 o'clock out there.
But
it'll be an 8 o'clock game for Notre Dame, prime time.
Yeah, it'll be Stanford. I don't even know what times they play. Sometimes they play late, like 10 p.m. Eastern time.
Yeah,
so it might be a little bit earlier for than some of their games, but it won't be that. It won't be a factor really for them.
Yeah,
and I think it'll barely be a factor for Notre Dame.
It'll be perfect.
Anyway,
I love night games.
I like night games when they're big games. I don't like night games when they're
I'd rather have every game at 7:30, 8 o'clock. You ready to just sit down and watch some good football?
Yeah, but I don't like... It feels like a night game should be a big game, which this is a big game.
Well, yeah.
I don't want to play Miami of Ohio at 8 p.m., which won't happen, but... Anyway,
we should play them at, was it 9 or 10 in the morning? We played Navy over in Ireland.
Yeah. No, let's not do that again. That was tough. All right, time to give our score predictions.
You didn't go through the defense.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's not a whole lot on the defense, really.
Back to playing a traditional offense. So do you think it'll take a little bit to get back to that, or do you think from the get-go Notre Dame will be... The defense will be ready.
They should be ready from the get-go, but there's always a little bit of a hangover. It just is. But
you've got a couple of guys that are totally different places on the field. Love is now back at corner. Do you expect Nick Watkins,
Troy Pride.
Troy Pride.
Troy Pride is listed as the starter.
Do you think Nick Watkins will even play?
Yeah, I think he'll play, but I think we'll see more Troy Pride again.
So I'm not even convinced we'll see Nick Watkins even play.
Just because
I don't know if
Pride is playing that well.
No, or? Just because it seems like maybe something there's something more wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure what's going on there.
But yeah, defensive line. Freshmen have been playing great all year. I don't expect them to take a step back now that it's the last game versus a couple of games ago.
They're going up against a good offensive line. One of the guards is probably one of the best guards that they'll face. But then there's one guy that's injured, and they have a new guy that hasn't played that much. So they'll probably be trying to attack him on the offensive line, but it'll be a test for this defensive line. But it is... I think they all know that it's Stanford. I don't know. We'll see a lot of two tight ends and basically all of Stanford's practice squad on the line as well. I mean, I don't know why Notre Dame can't do that sometimes in some games, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Elko has dialed up for that.
All right. Alize Mack, it'd almost be impossible for him to take over where he's at right now. Irish Don posted so in the forums. He's at 63% catch percentage, and the over-under was at 80. So he is miserably below that.
Yeah.
And I think Irish Dynamo's been pretty gracious, and I mean, if it's not catchable, he doesn't count it, even if it might nick a finger. I mean, if it needs to be a catchable ball. And we'll go through all of these after the Stanford game, maybe 2 weeks later, when everyone's talking about the conference championship games. Maybe we'll go through and look at our over and under predictions for the season. But do head over to the forums if you want to chat. There is still a lot going on in Notre Dame football. I know I've been a little bit down, but I'm Randall's picking me back up. Recruiting will probably be coming up here big, especially when Notre Dame has they will host a lot of kids when they do their banquet here later in December. So some big stuff coming up. And
well,
yeah, we need to give our. Are you finished talking about the defense, though?
Well, one thing I was going to say, we're not going to, like Brian Kelly mentioned, we talked about earlier, they're not going to play prevent defense at the end there.
Yeah.
So, I think they'll do okay. They've done good. I'm not that worried about Bryce Love. It's questionable if he'll play, and even if he does, he's not 100%. They're going to have to make the quarterback throw, and Notre Dame has had success against good running backs. I mean, you saw Georgia. I mean, they've done good outside the Miami game. They've done good against running backs and held teams below their average.
Mm-hmm.
Even Navy was like 100 yards below their rushing average. So I think this defense will pull it together and have a good game against Stanford. It's just they're going to be tested because it'll be a physical game.
All right, I'm ready to give my score predictions. Because I don't think Love is going to play in this game, I am picking...
Bryce Love.
I mean...
Yeah.
Did I say Julian?
No, I was just making sure.
Yeah, Bryce Love. I do think Notre Dame is going to come away with the win. Would he play? I would pick Stanford to win. So...
Wow.
I'm just saying. I think it comes down to him. So my final score prediction is I think Notre Dame is able to hold Stanford... To lower than what their season average has been of about 32 points. I think Notre Dame's going to be able to hold them to 24 points. And Notre Dame somehow will be able to score 31 points. I think it'll be some tough going, but I do think they're going to be able to squeeze out 31 points. I'm picking Notre Dame to win by a touchdown. It could easily be a lot closer than that. If Love plays, I would expect Stanford to win by a field goal.
Alrighty. I have it as a very close game. I think even with Love, it doesn't matter if he's played. He is beat up, and I think Notre Dame will have success slowing him down. I didn't want to, but you almost have to factor in the Navy hangover. It happens all the time. And we say it's not the year, but then it does, and it takes them. They have a slow start on defense. But what I think one of the biggest things, I'm going to pick Notre Dame to win. And one of the biggest reasons is Brandon Wimbush being able to run. Last week, they gave up over 100 yards to Cal's quarterback. And I think that's going to be the difference in this game. I think Brandon Wimbush will be able to run, which will open everything up. Will help the running backs, will help the passing game. Which helped everything. I think we'll be back to seeing Brandon Wimbush gain quite a few yards on the ground and have success running the ball. And I'm going with Notre Dame to pull it out 27-24. It's just time for Notre Dame to finally win.
So we both have Stanford at 24. This is interesting.
So when you're making your score prediction, be sure to match mine. It would have won you some coffee last week. Won a couple people some coffee. So,
what do you think is more likely, though, that Stanford blows out Notre Dame or Notre Dame blows out Stanford?
Notre Dame blows out Stanford. I do think that.
I mean, when I look at what Notre Dame has done,
if it's going to be a blowout, if it's going to be more than a 2-touchdown win, if there's 14-point difference in the score, Notre Dame will have won the game.
Yeah.
But.
All right. We will see. Be sure to tweet out your score prediction for a chance to win a pound of coffee from Main Street Roasters, a local coffee roasting company here in Napanee, Indiana, our backyard. In my opinion, it's the best coffee that there is. I drink there at their coffee shop several times a week and drink their coffee whenever I can. So it's mainstreetroasters.com, and we'll tweet out a reminder for you to reply to for your score prediction, and whoever wins will get a coupon code for a free pound of coffee.
And we hope everyone has a great Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is between now and the football game.
Randall, so. I didn't even think about this until right now, but what are you most thankful for about this football team? If you can, what's one thing that just like pops out? You know what? That was so cool, so good.
I'm just thankful that Brian Kelly made all the right changes at the beginning of the season, and that I got to go to USC game and watch Notre Dame kick their butts. I mean it, and we saw them do it to Michigan State, North Carolina State, and especially after hearing some of their fans say, "Oh, you know, this is just getting overlooked." They've hit a rough spot, but this has been a very enjoyable football. I mean, this has been one of the best football seasons up until kind of the end of Wake Forest and then Miami. Up till then, I was having even more fun than 2012. Yeah, they went undefeated, but the wins were just barely, eking out, and they got lucky here and there. Notre Dame was blowing out teams, and it was a lot of fun to watch.
I think the moment that I realized that this team is good was the Michigan State game. They beat them by 20 points at Michigan State, and it was a really good test. And even as the season went on, looking back at it, you could see that was a really good win. And it wasn't the kind of Michigan State didn't end up folding and turning into a 9-loss team at the end of the year. So that was just looking back, that was a moment in the moment, and even throughout the season, looking back that I was just thankful for.
And Brian Kelly was even asked, if you would have, somebody told you before the season, been, they say 9-2 at this point, or did they say 10, however they asked, would you have taken, and they barely had the words out of their mouth, and he was like, yes. This team has basically outperformed everyone's expectations.
Oh, yes.
And that's what's been so nice. It's finally had a team that could do that.
And again, in the face of a schedule that is much tougher than what it looked like at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
I predicted 10 wins, Randall. Do you remember that? But I didn't expect the schedule to be this tough. If I would have known how good Georgia was going to be, Michigan State, even Notre Dame beat them, but Michigan State was much better than I expected. USC was about what I expected. North Carolina State was better. Wake is better. And Miami is much better than I expected.
Yeah.
So about half the opponents were significantly better than what I expected.
I'm pretty sure my prediction at the end of the year was 9-3. I said they would lose to Georgia, and they would lose to Stanford, and I said they would lose one in between there, like a Miami or a USC.
I said I was worried about Miami and Stanford. I think were the two teams I was worried about. I thought they would beat Georgia, because it would be at home. I know Miami was one that was worried about.
I would just love for Stanford this just to be a dominating win. I want to get back to that feeling after the North Carolina State team and USC, that this team
is real.
Yeah.
I agree. All right, that's all we've got. Thank you guys for listening. Check out the forums, forums.irishsportstalk.net. And over on the website, Solon wrote another article, 3 takeaways from the win over Navy, and that is irishsportstalk.net. Thank you guys for listening, and until next time, have a happy Thanksgiving, and go Irish.
Go Irish.